Please stand by. Welcome, everyone. Thank you for joining us for today's IBM teleconference, Web 2.0, Transforming IMS Enterprise SOA to Web-Oriented Architecture. Today's teleconference will last approximately 60 minutes and will include a live question and answer session. In this session, we'll describe how to easily transform IMS Enterprise assets from SOA to WOA to increase their value and open up new business opportunities and partnerships on the web. The speaker for today's teleconference is Richard Tran, IBM Software Engineer, Information Management. At this time, I'd like to hand things over to our speaker, Richard Tran. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thank you for attending the Web 2.0 Transforming IMS Enterprise SOA to Web-Oriented Architecture. This topic was originated by Shimeho, the Chief Architect for IMS On Demand Products, and Jenny Hung was also instrumental in implementing this. Today, I, Richard Tran, will be the one presenting the topic. We'll move right on ahead to the next slide, which is the agenda. And I'll give a brief description of what IMS and Web 2.0 is, along with RESTful services, which are basically the lightweight services that are used to implement Web 2.0. And we'll talk about how you could transform IMS transactions into RESTful services. Then we're going to go into some examples on how you would use these RESTful services. And basically, ISO 2.0 is the IBM initiative for bringing Web 2.0 to enterprise. And they have two product offerings, InfoSphere Mashup Hub, which we'll get into, and Lotus Mashups, which unfortunately we are not allowed to show right at this time. And we will talk about the IMS integration with Info 2.0. So IMS and Web 2.0. IMS is actually two products, a hierarchical database and a transaction manager. Right now, we only implement Web 2.0 for the transaction side. Web 2.0 is treating the web as a platform. And this is where we create these rich internet applications very easily, and we run it through web services as applications on the web, such as the internet browser. And the most significant internet applications, of course, use the database, and you see these through Amazon and Google. And the goal of our focus is to transform IMS transactions into RESTful services. Web services come in two flavors. Most people are very familiar with service-oriented architecture, SOA, that is implemented with SOAP. And the new thing we're going to talk about would be web-oriented architecture. RESTful services are the web services for web-oriented architecture, and IMS supports both of these right now. IMS supports SOA through both WebSphere and a SOAP gateway. And WOA we support through the IBM plugin, which is going to be offered in IBM Mashup Hub. The main difference between these, SOAP is a bit more complex. You have to deal with WSDL files and XSD files. There's a lot more stuff you have to go through, and it's a bit technically challenging. RESTful services, the idea of lightweight here is they implement the web services using only HTTP methods and simple XML. So basically, any kind of web browser that can implement an HTTP GET query will invoke a RESTful service. Moving on to slide 5, transforming IMS transactions into RESTful services. The way we do this right now is we actually use another application right before we get into Mashup Hub. Right now, IBM offers Rational Developer for SystemZ, and this is a tool that is used with various IMS offerings. With IMS version 10, you're actually able to get a copy of RDZ version 7.11 for free. Now, what this will do is the service application developer will go into RDZ, and there will be a launch point there for creating a Mashup Hub project for IMS. And this is going to be called the IMS Info 2.0 project, and we'll talk about Info 2.0 a bit later. Basically, what you would do is for your IMS transactions, the transaction will be written either COBOL or PL1, and you would insert either the COBOL copybook or a PL1 source file, which would describe the data structures for the input and output of this transaction, into RDZ under that IMS Info 2.0 project, and it will generate two separate files that you would require. The first one would be the XML converters. This is very similar to the SOAP gateway offering. Basically, what it will do is it will convert the XML messages into bytes, which would be either COBOL or PL1, as depending on the IMS application. The XML converters will be deployed on the native IMS system on the IMS Connect, which is the TCP IP access section for IMS. the other file is specific for the IMS Info 2.0 project. It's called a correlator file, and this file will be imported into MashupHub. And once the MashupHub receives this correlator file, which contains the transaction info, such as the parameters and the type info for these parameters, it'll parse this file, and then it'll help the web application developer to define their web service. I'm moving on to slide 6, IMS RESTful Service Handler and Adapter. So the previous slide would cover the development phase, and then there's also the runtime phase that needs to be considered. Now, inside MashupHub, there's also a service adapter, which is what creates that connection between the MashupHub and the native IMS database system. So basically, the web client will issue the HTTP request, which is that RESTful service request we were talking about earlier, and to MashupHub. And you see in the chart, there's Lotus Mashup there, which is actually a front-end developer. So it could actually go through Lotus Mashup, or it could go directly into MashupHub. And in MashupHub, there's a little registry there. So the registry will identify which service is being called or which feed that is being called, and it'll go route it into the appropriate plugin. For us, it'll be that IMS REST service adapter. The service adapter is very simple. It basically converts the message into an XML message, which is sent to IMS. And then, of course, we just receive the XML message back from IMS, which is displayed as an XML feed back to the client. Okay, moving on to page 7, using RESTful services. Because RESTful services, as we described earlier, are very simple HTTP methods, they could be consumed by a variety of users. Right now, you could use your simple web browser, but you could also use some clients like Telnet or FeedViewer, depending on the output of the service. The RESTful service output is always XML, but it could be formatted into either RSS format or ATOM format, which are both types of feeds. So if you have an RSS FeedViewer, that would work as well. The services could be extended through a use of integration tools, and one of the ones we'll be talking about is InfoSphere MashupHub, and this will allow you to extend the service. Yahoo Pipes works very similar, if people are familiar with that. And then we're going to talk about using other tools to enhance usability, such as Lotus Mashup, which is that front-end development we were talking about, along with QD Wiki, which is also another front-end developer tool that IBM developed. Moving on to the next slide, let's talk about this Info 2.0. I mentioned it a bit earlier. Info 2.0 is the Web 2.0 goes to work philosophy by IBM, basically bringing Web 2.0 to enterprise. There's two main offerings for this. One is going to be InfoSphere MashupHub, which is the main product that we're dealing with, where our IMS plugin is going to be converting those transactions to RESTful services. The other one is Lotus Mashups, which is going to be that front-end developer that we will not be able to go into, unfortunately. On to page 9, the InfoSphere MashupHub. This is Subproject Info 2.0. So this basically takes data from various sources. You could take it from RESTful services, such as RSXML. You could also take in RSS feeds or ATOM feeds. And there's also a variety of plugins as well. So you can take in Excel or a WSDL file for those people that are still using SOA, and it'll convert that into a RESTful service for you. And then within this offering, there's also a feed editor, which people can use to manipulate the feed itself. And these operators are merge, filter, sort, group, union. And that for each at the beginning is like more of a loop operator. It's a little confusing, but when we go into our example, it'll be more clear. Moving on to slide 10, Lotus Mashups. Unfortunately, I can't say too much about this. Subproject Info 2.0. You can use it to create the front-end web page that people would see. Because RESTful services are invoked through an HTTP GET method, you would invoke it by just typing it into the web URL. But the problem with this is it's very unwieldy, especially for a service that has a bunch of parameters. So you do want to make it easier for the user, and this is where that front-end development comes into play. We'll be using an older offering called QED Wiki, and that will be gone through in depth as the example. So what is IMS doing with Info 2.0? Well, we're unleashing enterprise data with Web 2.0. Customers that have invested heavily in IMS, they're able to extend it now into the Web 2.0 community. And this offers a lot of flexibility. because IMS applications are written in COBOL and PL1, that's a very limited pool of people that you could grab that will have knowledge on that. Now, if you want to go into your transactions and edit it a little bit, you need people that would know PL1 or COBOL. But by unleashing it as Web 2.0, someone with very little technical knowledge can now quickly develop and deploy these changes to the transaction or even integrate it with other Web 2.0 offerings available freely on the Internet and maybe create something new and interesting. So let's move on to slide 12, which is going to explain a little bit about the demo that you will be seeing. So we have created this fictional company, National Tractor Company 2.0, and we're going to show how they're going to expose their IMS transaction as a web service, a RESTful service, and how they would use MashupHub and QED Wiki to make this more profitable for them. So on slide 13, this is a very simple scenario. A customer wants to buy a tractor, so they go to the National Tractor Company website and they do a search for local stores. Now, normally these searches will not show inventory information, and due to the size of a tractor, not many of these stores will actually have them on hand. So a customer will need to call a bunch of different stores just to confirm the tractor is in stock, and that can make a customer very frustrated. So National Tractor Company has an IMS transaction that manages inventory for them, so they want to somehow leverage this and show the inventory as real-time inventory information to the customer as the customer is searching on their website. So here is a front page that we designed. Basically, it's a drop-down box, and the customer will come in here, they'll select the product they want, and they'll type in their zip code. And we want this to show some meaningful information that's leveraging the Web 2.0 technology. So before we actually go to the page that would appear when they hit search, we're going to go into the tools such as Rational Developer for SystemZ and MashupHub and QED Wiki and show how we go from this page to the next page. So moving to slide 15, Rational Developer for SystemZ, we're going to talk about the meta file generation, and these are the correlator file and the XML converters that we discussed earlier. So in here, when you create a new project, you can see that there's an IMS Info 2.0 project there under Enterprise Service Tools. You come in there, and then you basically just specify a project name. This is very simple. You import in your source file, which is either that COBOL or the PL1 source file representing the IMS transaction. We're on page 19 right now. Once you import in your source file, you would now click on the Generate Info 2.0 Resources, and that would bring you up to a very simple wizard. The wizard, you could pretty much accept all the default settings. There is one section on page 21 where you would have to specify the input and output data structures for your transaction. The source file might have more than two data structures. It could have like three or five. So you really have to know which one's the input structure and which one's the output structure. And this, you might have to talk with the original IMS application developer for. So on page 22, we're just specifying the output data structure. Moving on to slide 23, this is where you enter in the interaction info with IMS, and these are the IMS parameters. So all these parameters right here should be known by the IMS system administrator or the IMS service application developer. Moving to slide 24, once you're done, you'll see that there's these files created there, and basically, one of these will be sent to IMS to get deployed on their IMS Connect, which is their TCP/IP gateway, and the other one is going to be sent to MashupHub, which is what we're moving on to next on slide 25. So on slide 25, this is the new MashupHub screenshot. If you've used MashupHub before on AlphaWorks, you'll notice that it's a little bit different. This version is actually coming out later this year and isn't currently available for customer use. But I did get permission to show it to you, so you're in for a treat. So to create a new feed, there's a create column in the middle, and there's a new feed option right there. There's also the new feed mashup, which is something we'll go to later, and that's where we're going to get to the editing of the service. So let's first create the feed. We'll go to new feed, and then on slide 26, you see that there's an enterprise category. And here we're going to select IMS. On slide 27, once you specify IMS, there's going to be a page for you to input in the connection info. So for a web application developer that isn't doing the part with Rational Developer for Systemz and they're just coming in here, the information required is very minimal. They only need the host info, the port number, and the data store name. Host name port, that's basically that TCP/IP connection we were talking about on IMS Connect on the native IMS system. And the data store name is the name of the data set within the IMS system, just so they could identify that. And then here you would input in the correlator file. You can't actually see it on the screenshot, but underneath there's also options for security through the internal IMS security called RACF. And there's also socket layer security through SSL, and you would upload in your key store file and your key store password. Moving on to slide 28. So inside that correlator file is a description of the IMS transaction, including the input parameters. So the mashup hub will actually parse that correlator file, and here it will display the parameters for that specific transaction. So that first column there would be the name of the parameters. Here we have a feature called hide. So you have a service such as an inventory service, and you only want to limit it to being display only. You don't want people to come in there and add stuff into your inventory or delete stuff from your inventory. You could hide the command parameter in there and set that in the default value to be display. So it would be a display only command, and the end user, when going through the web client, will not be able to alter those parameters. Default values, the web application developer will always want to put in some set of default values just so there'll be a meaningful feed if the user itself, the end user, does not provide any kind of values. And then once you're done with this, you would click next, and that would move us to slide 29, which is basically the creation of the feed. So it will supply you with that URL link right there at the top, and that will actually invoke the feed, which will invoke the IMS service on the back end. Just because, as we said, the RESTful service is the HTTP method, so it's a very simple invocation. Now, once you have that URL, you can plug that URL into the RSS viewer, or we're going to actually plug it into our mashup editor, which was back on that first screen. So page 30 shows the feed itself, and this is the inventory feed. And then we're moving back to the homepage for mashup up on slide 31. And there you can see the new feed mashup launch point to enter the mashup editor. So let me describe this transaction for you for a bit. National Tractor Company, their inventory service, displays product inventory for all dealers within the United States. So National Tractor Company wants to modify their service to just show the inventory for a limited number of dealers within a small radius of that zip code the customer entered in on that first screen we saw, which was their entry point into the web service. Now, here you move on to slide 32, we're actually in the mashup editor, and you can see there's a source widget right there. And the source widget, once you go to page 33, if you look at the properties of the source widget, you can enter in a URL, or since we created the feed in mashup hub, we can actually just browse for it through the catalog. But if it's like a news feed, such as Yahoo News or the BBC News, you would just implement it in through the URL or a web service you found on the internet. Page 34, and speaking of web services we found on the internet, I actually went on Google and I found this one that would calculate the distance between two zip codes if you provide two zip codes as input. So what I did was I fixed one of the zip codes in there as the one that was entered in by the customer earlier when they were trying to find the inventory info. Now we're going to that for each operator, which is that loop operator that I said was a bit confusing. Basically, it'll go into the National Tractor Company, and it'll look at the zip codes for every dealer entry in there. Now that zip code will go through the for each widget, and it'll go back to that zip distance service that we discovered earlier. So it'll match that zip code with the zip code entered in by the client. So now we'll have a list of the distances between the client and each dealer store for a National Tractor Company. Now moving on to slide 36, we want to filter out the distances. So now we're going to filter within 100 miles. And if we wanted to, on that first page, we could actually have added an option where the user would enter in the distance they want to look at. So it doesn't have to be 100 miles. It could have been something the user would have specified themselves. And then moving on to slide 37, which is where you just click Save. And the nice thing about when you click Save is it actually gives you an option of choosing between what type of feed you want to provide. This is all RESTful services basically provide feed output. So you can either give the XML output, or you can have it formatted in as an RSS feed or as an ADAM feed. Moving on to slide 38. So now the matchup editor, we created this new service based off the old service that takes in a zip code as input, along with the product number of the tractor that someone's looking for. And we'll provide the stock information for that tractor within all dealer locations of 100 miles within that zip code. Moving on to page 38, now we're talking about the front-end development, and unfortunately, I'm not allowed to show you Lotus mashups, but Qunity Wiki is very similar to Lotus mashups. They do pretty much the same thing, where it's just the front-end development. We're going to come in here, and we're going to create a new web page, and then we're going to move on to page 39. And Qunity Wiki has a bunch of widgets that we can use. So since we have a XML feed from the previous service, I'm going to put in this XML grabber widget. And what I put in there would just be the URL that you're grabbing the XML from. So that would be that URL that we saw earlier as well. Now, you want to actually display some of that information to the user on the web page, so we have an XML viewer widget. So now that we have the XML file we grabbed with the XML grabber widget, we plug that into the XML viewer widget, and then we selectively display the information we want to show. So right now, we're just showing the dealer name, the dealer location, and the phone number. Moving on to page 41, we also included a Google Map widget because, you know, you might not be familiar with the area within 100 miles of you. So if you had a map, you could actually look and see where each store is located, and it could identify the stores closest to you very easily. Moving on to slide 42, we show the end product. So here we have an interactive Google Map on the upper right. A Google Map is offered as a freely available Web 2.0 service to developers. And you can actually drag and drop entries from that table created by the XML viewer widget onto the map, and it'll center in on that location for you. And we also include the inventory information. So if you look at that little pop-up screen on the map for that location, it'll tell you the number of units available for that product. Another thing down there in the bottom right, we included some product information, and this could be made available through another feed. At the bottom left, there was an echo widget, so we're just echoing information made available from the XML file. So you remember how in the XML viewer widget, we were selectively displaying information because we didn't want a big table right there. In that bottom left corner, when they select on one of the entries in the table, it'll show the remaining information for that dealer. So now you all see some information such as email or a website, and it'll also display the inventory, which is what the end user really wants to see. So going back to that first page, when the user puts in their zip code and the product, they click search, it'll come straight to this. And this is much more useful than just a listing of the local dealers. And that wraps up our presentation. I'm now going to hand it over to the operator for some brief polling before we start our Q&A.
Richard, thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, before we move on to Q&A, we'd like to get some feedback from you in the form of a brief survey. We have five questions we'd like you to answer using your telephone keypad. Press the star key followed by the digit that best corresponds to your choice, and please listen to all options before you make your selection. So first, please evaluate your level of satisfaction with today's teleconference. If it was high, press star 1. If it was medium, press star 2. Or if it was low, press star 3. We'll take just a moment to assemble your responses. Question 2, was the level of technical information presented in this teleconference at the right level? If it was at the right level, press star 1. If it was not technical enough, press star 2. Or if it was more technical than you needed to hear, press star 3. Next, what version of IMS are you on? If version 9, press star 1, version 8, press star 2, or version 7 and below, press star 3. Again, we'll pause. Question number four, what's your current planned use of IMS 10? If you currently have IMS 10, press star 1. If you plan to install IMS 10 in the next 6 to 12 months, press star 2. If you're interested in IMS 10 within the next 2 years, press star 3. Or if you're not interested in IMS 10, press star 4. And finally, we hope you've enjoyed the teleconference today. Please let us know if you're interested in receiving additional information or follow-up regarding the products discussed today. If yes, press star 1. If no, press star 2. And we will start the Q&A session in just a moment. And that will conclude our survey. Thank you again for your participation. Now let's move on to taking your questions. If you have any questions at this time, we'll ask you to signal us using your telephone once again. Press the star key followed by the digit 1 if you have any questions at this time. Again, it'll be star 1 if you have any questions at this time. We'll pause for just a moment to assemble our roster. First up, we have a question from Pete Patnick. Please go ahead.
Web 2.0, I see that's a lightweight, like the SOAP gateway. And where does the RESTful service run? Is it generated part of the RDZ? And does it support IMS conversational transaction like VTCV, or just it supports the non-conversational transaction like VTNO?
Okay, so what this MashupHub is going to be running on, it will be running on WebSphere, and the way the RESTful service works is it's basically the IMS plugin is just a handler. So when we get a message of the format of the RESTful service, which is a HTTP GET method, the handler will just parse the URL, take in the parameters, and then it will just use the values that we've stored in there about the service previously during the web the service creation phase, such as the transaction code and the execution timeout values. And then once that is done, it will just construct an XML message, which is sent to IMS Connect. So in that regard right there, it's very similar to the SOAP Gateway offering. As of right now, there are a couple limitations. We do not support callout. We don't support conversational. These are planned for future releases. The release that will be coming out sometime this year will not have that support just yet, but it is planned.
So you have to have WebSphere running in Linux?
Actually, right now, the plan for the initial offering, WebSphere will only be running on Windows 2003 server. There will be Linux support eventually, but just on the initial offering. If you do want conversational support for Web 2.0, you should definitely contact us and put in a requirement for us to speed up. That way we could allocate resources on it and try to get this out faster for you.
Yeah, actually we are interested, like, you know, we have been interested since last 2 years for the SOAP gateway support, for the conversational support.
Under
the ZOS. With ZOS, right now you can run the SOAP gateway in under Z platform. But we want the conversational support, but that still hasn't happened yet. And that would have solved our problems. But since Web 2.0, so when we saw this thing, I said, well, maybe IBM has a solution through Web 2.0 for conversational support. But looks like you don't have it there either.
Yeah, I do believe SOAP Gateway is working on conversational support. I can't confirm for sure with you. If you give me your contact number and or your name and company, I could try to get back to you as soon as possible on that. Basically, if SOAP Gateway does do conversational support in the near future, Mashup Hub will allow you to create a feed from a WSDL file, so you would be able to convert any SOAP Gateway transaction that you've already implemented into a RESTful service.
And the RDZ is a free license under version 9 and version 10 IMS, correct?
I'm not sure about version 9, but for version 10, you will get two unsupported copies of RDZ, which will allow you to use it with both SOAP Gateway and Mashup Hub.
Does it support the single segment or double segment?
Right now we only support single segment, but as with conversational and call out, we are planning on doing multi-segment in the future releases. But for this initial offering, just because it's a new technology, we don't have that support in there.
Okay, I'm done.
Okay, thank you.
Again, if you have any questions, press star 1. No questions holding at the moment, but again, it is star 1 if you have any questions.
So, right now, I know IMS allows you to write applications in various languages besides COBOL and PL1, but as with some of the limitations, we're only supporting COBOL and PL1 applications. We actually don't have plans to support other types of applications. If you're a customer and you would like support for other applications, you should place a requirement, a FITS requirement, and this will be something we will prioritize. Basically, anything that you as a customer would like, please put a requirement in or contact us about it, and we will try to make it into a future release as soon as possible. One of the questions I've gotten, I've given this presentation before, not to customers, but to other internal IBM employees, such as our support people and internal education. And one of the questions I get is, how does this product fit in as a whole with IBM? So IBM actually offers quite a couple different products like IMS, DB2, Kix, and Web 2.0 is a thing that's new, and a lot of these technologies are trying to get into it. So Mashup Hub actually supports not just us, but it has support for pure XML, DB2 as well. And right now Kix isn't part of Mashup Hub, but I do believe they are working on their own Web 2.0 support, which I think is going to be a standalone, but I can't confirm that. How do we compare with other industry solutions? As far as I know, we're the first company to do this enterprise to Web 2.0 enablement. So what people think of when they see Web 2.0, they think it's something that people use for fun, such as blogs or just looking at news feeds. And we're really excited to bring this enterprise support into Web 2.0 because, like I said, the Web 2.0 community is really big, and we did find that zip code service on Google, but there's plenty of services you can use to remix your transactions and create new and very flexible and imaginative services that you wouldn't have the capability of doing before without hiring a COBOL or maybe a PL1 application developer.
And again, ladies and gentlemen, if you have any questions, simply press star 1 on your phone.
Hi, Richard. This is Jenny. Can you explain the business advantage to transform the IMS application into this web-oriented architecture service or feed versus what I have been more familiar with, this SOA application?
Well, one of the nice things about Web 2.0 is Like I said, there's that community out there, and I know a lot of companies when they have that have IMS, they have a lot of transactions, and not just like a hand, like 10 or 20, but the number is quite up there. And what this allows you to do is you could leverage these transactions in new ways. So, for example, the National Tractor Company, you have that inventory transaction that you turn into a Web 2.0 service. Now you could offer that as a public service so other people can use them. And how this would work in the bigger picture is, suppose there's a local hardware shop and they want to sell your tractors, but they unfortunately cannot contain your inventory just because they don't have the space allotment for it. So they would include that inventory service onto their website. So when people want to buy a tractor and they go to to the local store website, not a National Tractor Company website, but like a mom and pop farming shop, they could go there and they'll see, oh, I could buy a tractor from this store, but since I'm already here, I might as well buy some of the related products I might need, like the seeds or just the soil type for that. And this would be good for a National Tractor Company as well, because it's kind of like free advertisement. So the mom and pop will get money from related goods, and National Tractor Company will be making money off their tractor. Mm-hmm. Now, the difference between web-oriented architecture and SOAP architecture is that web-oriented architecture lets you create mashups, and that's what we saw with the mashup editor and with QED Wiki. So basically, you could create these really nice-looking applications very quickly and without much technical knowledge. So we're looking at a commercial example. But if we were looking internally, suppose you have an employee that has to look at a couple different data sources just to do their day-to-day job, they could come in here and they could just write their own custom mashup that would allow them to do everything from one screen. And that would simplify their business process and make it much faster for them to complete their task. Now, a web mashup, basically, like I said, we're going to be integrating not only the IMS transaction with each other, but with other services. So this allows you to introduce new functions such as aggregate or join, filter, merge. Really, there's so many possibilities out there. I think when I was doing the demo creating the demo for National Tractor Company, the hard part was trying to select between the different Web 2.0 services I found to make what I wanted, just because there's so many available.
No questions holding at the moment. I take that back. We do have a question. This is Barbara Klein.
I just wanted to have you explain how somebody would get started on using the Mashup Hub.
Okay. So back in November, we actually released a alpha version of Mashup Hub. And this is still available for use until the current plan release comes out. So if you do want to get a little preview of how to create mashups, you should go to the AlphaWorks website and download the IBM Mashup Starter Kit. And that will contain Mashup Hub and QED Wiki. The Mashup Hub will look a little different from what you saw in this presentation, just because I showed you the newer version. But if you would like to see a tutorial or a demo on how the older version works, you can go to the IMS website at www.ibm.com/IMS. And under the technology highlights, there should be a Web 2.0 link there, which will take you to the IBM Mashup Hub plugin page. And from there, you could download the Mashup Hub Starter Kit. There will be a link to the AlphaWorks page where you can download it. And there will also be a link to a demo video that you can download. This video will show you how to go step by step through the same screens I showed you, but with the alpha version. So you'll be going through the National Tractor Company demo through the AlphaWorks version of Mashup Hub. This video is also available on YouTube. So if you are interested in showing it to not just people in your office, but like people worldwide, you can just send them a link to the YouTube video, which they can access and just quickly get a feel for what Web 2.0 is. If you're interested in participating in a beta, you should definitely contact us. There will be plans for a beta before the official release, and we're always looking for customers that will be interested in previewing this technology.
At the moment, Richard, no other questions are holding.
Hi, Richard. This is Jenny again. Can you elaborate more about how is security supported in this product or in this offering?
Okay, so like I said, MashupHub is installed on WebSphere, so they utilize the security of WebSphere there. So when you're connecting, whether as a web developer through the web interface for creating a service on MashupHub, or if you're connecting as a feed consumer, you have the ability to connect through a SSL connection, which is a secure socket connection, which means that network connection between you and MashupHub will be secure, so it will not be attackable. Then we implement the same security between MashupHub to IMS through our IMS plugin. And if you go back to the screenshot where you saw the how to create the IMS feed, there was that section down at the bottom where you could supply security such as the keys profile for SSL. And then there's also the internal security for IMS, which is done through RACF. So there you provide the user ID, group name, and password. Now, this is one of the main differences between the current alpha release and the planned release, is that the alpha release doesn't have the security support, and this is one of the main incentives of moving to the official release, is to get that security in there, especially for enterprise data, just because that is something that you will definitely want to protect. Now, if you remember the second page of the feed creation process where you specify the parameters and you can use hide and default value, that's another place where you can implement some security. So, like I said, for the inventory, if we're making it available to the public, we don't want people to come in there and mess around with our inventory numbers. So we could hide the command parameter and set that as the default value for that as display only. This way, since it's hidden, the feed consumer cannot specify a new command into it through the URL string, and it will always be a display command. And this will also protect your database information from being corrupted by an outside user.
Again, no questions holding at the moment.
Okay, thanks, Richard. So you mentioned that I can go and specify certain parameters to be hidden or specify the default value. Can I update that the feed parameter information later in the stage?
Yes, so you notice you put in some information in RDZ and some information in MashupHub. The information in MashupHub, we actually made the decision to put it there instead of RDZ just so it's easier to edit. So in MashupHub, when you have a feed created, there's a link that lets you edit the feed source. So suppose you move your IMS system and it has a different IP address now. That's information you can change very easily. Or suppose you use RACF security. Now, of course, you might change your user ID and your password every 30 or 90 days. So that's another feature, and that's another reason why we have that in there. So you can easily change that along with the key store info. Parameter information we also put there. So if you did want to change it, so from view only display only inventory to give it a bit more features, you go in there and easily edit it there as well.
Okay, so I assume that whenever I update my feed information, editor information, I will not be getting a new URL. I can, the link, the HTTP URL will still be the same.
Yes, the link will still be the same, so you don't have to recreate any mashups. The only time the link will be different is if you actually went there and created a brand new feed. And you have that option. You could create feeds for the inventory service. Separate feeds for the inventory. So you can have one that just adds only, one that deletes only, and one that views only, and have them as three separate feeds. Or you can make one feed where that command is an option, variable, and the user themselves can select it.
Okay, and one more question. How do I know what is the right type of format to create a feed for my IMS application? Should I click Kotlin or RSS feed?
Okay, so basically, when you use the IMS feed plugin, it will create it as an XML feed. If you go into the mashup editor, where we saw we were importing in the source and the filter for each widget, basically you just import in the source and then you just save it as a different feed format. So you put it in there, and you can actually publish the same service as both as an XML feed, an RSS feed, and an ADAM feed, and they'll have three separate URLs depending on the format they want, but it's all running the same IMS backend. And this is one of the nice flexibilities for this, so you could craft it however you want.
We do have a phone question holding. This is Greg Bowers.
Sure. Hi, I'm not following what my requirements are for running IMS-10 and IMS-Connect. Is there something specific that's being introduced in IMS-10 to enable this, or can I theoretically run this under IMS-9 with IMS-Connect?
Well, right now we only officially support version 10. You're welcome to try with version 9. It's just if there is an issue, where we will not be supporting it. As for installation, because Mashup Hub is installed as a web application on WebSphere, there's no changes required on IMS version 10 or IMS Connect to enable the support.
Okay, so if I'm understanding you, I have no mainframe component involved in this other than running an IMS with IMS Connect.
Yeah, the only thing you would have to do would be deploying the XML converters on the IMS Connect, and that's the only part where you would actually have to touch the mainframe at all. Everything else is handled on the web application server.
And these XML converters are furnished as part of this product offering, or they're furnished as standard IMS Connect options?
The way the XML converters are generated is you would use Rational Developer for System Z, and Rational Developer for System Z will generate the converter files for you when you go through that IMS Info 2.0 project wizard.
Okay, I'm sorry, I'm apparently missing then. How would I deploy these XML converters under Connect? Or do they just talk to Connect directly and they're really deployed under WebSphere?
No, they are deployed under IMS Connect. There is a separate tutorial on this that's been published by SOAP Gateway, because for SOAP Gateway, you would also deploy XML converters as well. I'm not the expert on this, to be honest. I'm not a big mainframe person, which is why I think I was perfect for Web 2.0, was just because they didn't want someone that's heavily mainframe-oriented in there. And the step, I looked at the process, I believe it's a six-step process, so it shouldn't be directly too hard. I believe Jenny has the experience to explain how to deploy the XML converters, so if she's on the line, she could probably explain better for this.
Hi, yes. So what we do currently as part of testing the generated converter is to FTP the file to a data set that we have, and that particular data set, we use that to store all the source files, all the generated converters, And then we kick off JCL, and I believe that JCL sample one should be provided as part of the tutorial. We kick off the JCL to compile and link the converter to a data set that IMS Connect can access. And so during runtime, there is also a configuration step that you have to set up to enable Unicode for IMS Connect, such that with, I believe, starting with IMS version 9, IMS Connect has this XML adapter task routine that can get kicked off when the incoming request has an adapter name specified in the as part of the IRM header. So when that inbound request comes in, then IMS Connect will kick off the XML adapter subtask, and with that, it will load the compiled and linked converter into memory and have the input be transformed from XML to bytes before the byte array is sent to the IMS application, and vice versa on the way out. The IMS Connect, the XML adapter routine will load the outbound converter to convert the bytes back into XML and send it back to the client. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, Jenny, I think it does for the most part. I'm with Bank of America, and we'll get with Bill Talamo and see if we can set up some more specific information.
Did you say you are Rich or Edward with Bank of America?
Greg Bowers.
Greg Bowers. Okay, if you're interested, we can send you the tutorial on how to deploy and link the converters with IMS Connect.
Yeah, let me go back through my notes and see what I have, and probably I'll want to pull a small group of people together that maybe we can sit down with you. But we'll coordinate that through Bill.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
And also, Greg, since you asked a question earlier about whether IMS version 10 has anything in particular that really supports this Web 2.0 offering, at this point, like Richard said, there is nothing that we modify in IMS, nor IMS Connect. However, earlier there was, Pete from Geico that was asking about conversational support. So we have planned to support conversation in the future, and with that, IMS version 10 does have a change that was made to support conversation. So if we do put out this follow-on release supporting conversation, then yes, with that particular version, it will require this IMS version 10 for sure.
Okay, very good. Thank you.
Sure.
And with that, there are no other questions holding. Richard, I'll turn things back over to you for any additional remarks or closing comments.
So I would just like to summarize what we went over today. Basically, Mashup Hub is a web application deployed on web application server version 6.1. And what Mashup Hub does is it allows you to web 2.0 enable a bunch of different services, including IMS, DB2, and Excel or other just generic WSDL web services. And it also has the capability of letting you do a web matchup with them, such as aggregating the services or doing a presentation mashup, which is that Lotus mashup section where you do the front-end development. And right now, if you want to play around with it, you could go to the AlphaWorks website or go through the link from the IBM IMS website and download the Mashup Hub Starter Kit. If you really want to get a feel for the actual release that's coming out later this year, please contact us, because there will be a beta available for that if you want to be on the beta list. Now, we We do plan on getting back and answering any questions you guys have. If you have anything you feel you want to contact us afterwards. Also, if there's any restrictions you see on the current offering and that you would like released, like implemented, such as conversational call out, please contact us about that, and we will make sure to prioritize it. So if you would like to contact me, my name is Richard Tran. My email is richtran, R-I-C-H-T-R-A-N, at us.ibm.com, and I'm the main developer for IBM Info 2.0, which is the IMS Info 2.0, which is the IMS Web 2.0 enablement plugin. Or if you have more mainframe-related questions, you could always email Jenny, and her email is hungjc at us.ibm.com, and we would both love to hear back from you guys about anything you might have on Web 2.0 or any questions or comments.
Thanks very much, everyone. That will conclude today's teleconference. Have a good day.